Well, hello, church family. This is Jonathan. I wanted to read a little bit from Ephesians, where we have been spending some time recently as a family, from Ephesians chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, please take a look at it. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And one of the ways that we glorify God is by encouraging one another. It's good to fellowship, it's good to see one another, but the best thing is to speak to one another, Paul says, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. So it's kind of hard to do when we can't see each other. We're prevented by circumstances from being able to hear each other's voices. So what we did this week is we asked everybody to submit names of songs that are encouraging to you. And the kids and I and Scott got together in Scott's basement. Scott pulled out his guitar, and we sang some of those songs. The point of this wasn't to sound good or to be impressive, but just to encourage you all. We love you and miss you and wish we could see you, wish we could do this in person. But instead, for now, for this time, this is going to have to be the next best thing. Penny's just now learning to read, so she sang along with us on this one.
"Be thou, O God, exalted high, and as your glory fills the sky, so let it be on earth displayed, till you are here as there obeyed. Till you are here as there obeyed. O God, my heart is fixed, is bent, its thankful tribute to present, and with my heart my voice I'll raise to you, my God, in songs of praise. To you, my God, in songs of praise. Awake, my glory, harp and lute, no longer let your strings be mute, and I my tuneful part to take. With you, my the early dawn awake, will with the early dawn. Praises, Lord, I will resound to all the listening nations round. Your mercy highest heaven transcends, your truth beyond the clouds extends, your truth beyond the clouds extends."
Nice.
That was.
Thank you, Penny.
Well, that was Psalm 57. We also sang Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is great because it reminds us of the stories of the patriarchs. We hear about Abraham, Jacob, Moses. It's a long psalm. This isn't the entirety of it, obviously. But it's worth reading on its own. Addie asked to sing this one for you all.
Everybody's got to be quiet, okay? Okay. Do you want to do the first verse?
Kind of loud.
Sure. Nice and loud.
Oh, thank the Lord, on his name call, his deeds tell peoples all. Oh, sing to him, sing songs to him, his wonders all recall.
He talking about there when he says he made a covenant with Jacob? Jacob was walking through the wilderness, remember, and he laid down
on the rock. And then he dreamed. We're reading Genesis right now, and he dreamed of a ladder going up to heaven, and angels going up and down it with God at the top.
And what did God promise to him?
That he would give him all of that land soon.
Did he keep that promise? He certainly did. Did Jacob have a lot of trials?
Yes, he did.
But God carried him through all of them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you, Eddie.
Someone asked for Horatius Bonar's Glory Be to God the Father. So Scott and I very badly attempted to do a harmony version of that, but we know you'll forgive us. Bonar was a friend of Robert Murray McShane, which I did not realize until recently, and wrote something like 600 hymns. The setting is a more modern one by Greg Wilbur. Just a little bit of background.
Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit, branch of over three in one. Glory, 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 while eternal ages run. Glory be to Him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to Him who bought us, made us kings with Him to reign. Glory, 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 one living that once was slain. Glory to the King of Angels, glory to the Church's King. Glory to the King of Nations, south and earth your praises ring. Glory, 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 to the King of Glory bring. Glory, blessing, praise eternal, thus the choir of angels sing. Glory, riches, power, dominion, thus His praise to nations rings. Glory, 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 glory to the King of Kings.
So Dave Mell requested the hymn Day by Day. I believe, Dave, we sang this at your ordination service. At the moment, Micah and Rachel are tied up in quarantine for 14 days, I think, having just gotten back from New York City. And I emailed Micah today and I said, Micah, I think you and Rachel should do a version of Day by Day. So, of course, Micah came through for me. Somehow he has overdubbed himself and done this in four-part harmony. So the Above and Beyond Award today for effort goes to Micah and Rachel. So Dave, this is for you, their version of Day by Day.
Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise discernment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond
request that we had time for was for Psalm 40. So here's Psalm 40, and then a message from Charles.
I waited for the Lord. He stooped and heard my cry. He brought me from the pit, out of the dungeon mire. My feet set on a rock, my footsteps made secure. My lips he gave a song, a song to praise our God.
That's good.
Many will see with awe, and so will trust the Lord. Blessed he who trusts in God and turns not to false men. You have worked wonders, Lord, no one compares to you. Should I declare each one, their number is too great. You want no offering, nor ask a sacrifice, but you have given me a ready ear to hear. You ask no offerings burnt, nor sacrifice for sin. So I say, here I come as in scroll inscribed. To do your will, O God, to me is my delight. Your law is part of me, deep in my heart, O God. In congregation great, I told your righteousness. You know, Lord, I spoke out, I did not close my lips.
Psalm 40.
Very nice.
Thank you, Scott.
You think that'll do it?
I think so.
All right.
Just want to let everybody know that we love you and miss you and hope you have a blessed Lord's Day. Scott, do you have anything that you want to say?
I just want to say that this is hopefully a very short-term inconvenience for all of us, but it is in God's sovereignty what He has given us, and we rejoice to be able to worship separately but together in spirit. And we, my family, the session, the whole church just wishes for all of us to once again be reunited in worship.
Amen. Love you all. Talk to you later. All right, welcome. You all are joining us in our home, in our living room today. This is the first time that I've ever done anything like this because we are being quarantined in some sense in our homes due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We're not able to have our regular worship service tomorrow, and so we're going to do this sermon here to provide for our congregation, and by doing so, it's available to other people who may be listening. So welcome to our home. I am standing in the middle of the living room, actually using a ladder as my pulpit, and my family's all gathered around me today. So this is a unique time. I'm excited to have this opportunity. I'm glad that we have the ability and the technology to continue to do this so that we can deliver the word, be in the word together, be able to have a type of worship. But even though we are limited, we're able to do this. It may be something like when I remember when I was a kid, we would have in a church service, I could be there, but sometimes things would happen, usually me talking or being a distraction, and my parents would have to take me out of the congregation for a moment and have a talk with me. I was no longer in a regular worship service, but I was definitely getting some good teaching at that moment and getting a sermon. And sometimes we may need this. This may be actually, I believe, and I think the sermon will highlight the scriptural backing behind it, that sometimes we need to be pulled out of our regular circumstances so that we can listen and hear and truly be edified and be able to receive the good things that the Lord has for us. This morning, Jennifer and I were having a conversation around coffee, which we don't often get to do on a morning. And we were discussing, and she was sharing with me a thought about what God may be doing with this virus to accomplish His purposes. And as she expressed more detail about the possibilities where this idea may go, I wondered how well these hypotheticals were fitting a biblical understanding of who God is. And I was wondering how healthy this idea could be and how we postured ourselves before God and how healthy it would be to help us approach one another. She asked my thoughts about what she had said, and I told her I had this silly analogy come to mind just kind of out of the blue as she asked me that was likely influenced from me playing the video game Frogger when I was a child. I don't know if some of you all would remember that 80s video game Frogger, where you try to get this frog across traffic and you try to get it across this river. But anyway, thankfully she's patient with how my mind wanders, and she wasn't offended that I was thinking about a video game while she was talking about something so seriously. But the analogy went kind of like this. when we have to get across this fast-flowing river as we endeavor to follow trusting God in His providence,
Occasionally we have these rocks that are firm to stand on, and then occasionally we have these large turtles that are swimming upstream in such a way as if they're just stationary before us. It's okay to step on the turtles for just a moment to get across. As you're trying to get across, if you can imagine looking across a river and that's rushing water going through, and you have rocks sticking out here and there, and then you have these large turtles that are swimming up the stream, but because they're the way that they're swimming, they're just kind of right there in front of you like little stepping stools. And so it's okay to step on the turtles for just a moment, but if you stand on the turtles too long, they'll sink and you'll be caught up into the flow. It's better to just hop along these fleeting thoughts, in a sense, if you can think of these turtles as ideas, and it's okay to stand on them for a moment, but you don't want to put your full rest there. You don't want to stay there too long, or you're going to be swept away. Though they have buoyancy, they don't have permanency, and so we should seek to stand on solid rocks to get us where we're going. See, there are a lot of incremental facts being thrown at us during this time, whether it's the increasing numbers of people that have this virus, or the individual biblical principles. People may be teaching us, saying, well, you know, we shouldn't let the government tell us what to do about whether we should go worship, or we shouldn't trust the government because they're telling us all these different things. And some people may be using biblical ideas behind that, but they may be encouraging through their demeanor to put all of our weight on that and our full response, instead of looking at the fullness of God's revelation in His Word and how we need to balance all of these biblical principles according to letting Scripture interpret Scripture. See, when this happens, it's easy for us to get caught up in the incremental facts apart from the overarching call of His Word. And when this happens, we tend to easily respond with fear and anxiety or sinful anger or indignation. Or on the other hand, we may respond with apathy and neglect as if it's no big deal. Or we may show unloving judgment toward one another based upon what they are doing or how they are responding. And it may collide with how we are responding. Or we may just simply be speaking our mind as if we know God's mind in hand beyond what He's expressed in His Word. And we have too much confidence in what we think is going to happen or why things are happening. And there's a loss of humility. This is when we know that we are sinking. This is when we know that we have stepped on one of the turtles, and we've just, maybe there's a little bit of truth there. There's a little bit of buoyancy from that truth, but we put all of our weight and our rest into that. You can tell whenever they're not things of the Spirit. See, the last time we were able to meet together as a congregation for worship, I was in the last part of the first section of Ephesians 5, and it ended like this. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. See, now in this time, our call has not changed. We are to follow Christ to the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, worshiping Him as the King over all things and loving others as He loves us. So we must be deliberate with what we hold on to in uncertain times. It is not wise for us to use our time dwelling on things that are not firm in His Word. And although the Word teaches us that a little wine can be good for the body and soul, we are heavily warned of the destruction of excess and drunkenness. Often information and amusement can be like that to the body and the soul. The profitability of these things should only be in whether it helps root us in the will of the Lord, which is found rightly in understanding His Word and within the work of the Spirit. Fear and prideful indignation is not of the Spirit, But the fruit of the Spirit is a peace and a rest in the power of God and a submission to loving one another out of the reverence for Jesus Christ. So how shall we use our time and energy now? By dwelling on everything that's on social media? By dwelling on the news? Or standing on a single principle in the Scripture as if every bit of our action is based upon that one thing? No, it's by dwelling in the fullness of His Word, working toward a better understanding of what we've been given in His Word, and resting in the work that He has done and displayed and presented to us in His Word, and then doing the things He has called us to do, like encouraging one another with singing. That's our response to this rest. That is our response. If you think if you're going across that river and you land on a rock and you know you're not sinking, you'll be like, woohoo, I'm on this rock. I'm not just on this turtle. I mean, maybe if you get to a turtle, it might be exhilarating for a moment. It might be helpful for a moment, but you're not going to feel confident in that. So you're not going to stand there and feel like you can take a moment to celebrate. But when you're on a rock, you're going to be able to sing and celebrate. So you need to be singing, reminding each other of those things that are solid and that give us rest. Sing thanksgiving and praises to God and sing to one another of the solid truth of God's love and power. Remind each other of your hope. And even when you speak to one another of the events of the day, including the struggles and suffering, speak as if you are singing thanksgiving to God, resting in Him with confidence, giving Him the reverence due to His name because of His work and love for us. Remember, He defeated sin, sickness, and death by taking it to the cross. We should not act as if any of that has any power over us who are redeemed by His blood. It says in Psalm 30, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." See, this particular hope that we have is not just based upon some kind of good vibe about God. It's not just some kind of flowery language that is to encourage us to be positive thinkers. This whole talk about having this hope, this whole reason that we sing, is based upon a work that Jesus Christ has accomplished. Today's sermon passage is actually going back to Ephesians 1. And as long as we're going to have to be doing this kind of thing from my house versus where we normally gather, we're going to go back into some passages that have already gone through in Ephesians with the hope that we'll start back where we left off whenever we're able to gather again in the second part of Ephesians 5. So today's particular passage is going back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we are in this unique time, this extraordinary time where people are having to do different things, change our plans to be very lucid and aware of your plan, help us now to see your plan as it's been predestined from the beginning of time. Help us to see it as we go into your word now. We pray that you would manifest to us an understanding, a hope, and a security. And we ask, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit in this moment now, even in my living room, and then tomorrow when people hear this and any other time that they hear your word proclaimed, may it be that you would bear forth fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've already preached on this passage, but I wanted us to just highlight again some of the things that we brought out before as we went through this particular passage, because I believe that this is what we need right now in this particular time. We need this hope. We need this encouragement. We need this encouragement for anyone that's out there. For some people, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fears, a lot of uncertainty. And this passage is something about certainty. It's against fear. And so this is something to bring a lot of hope for a lot of people that are dealing with anxiety and fear. But this is also for the people who may be scoffers, or people who may be so confident in just a single principle of God and forget about his plans and his purposes and what he is doing and how he is doing things all the time and every moment for the sake of his glory. That this is a time to take notice and not to act so self-confident that everything is within our own powers and our own strength. So I don't think that anyone can say, this one's not for me today. This is for every single one of us. And so the first question I have, one of the things for those of you who may not be accustomed to how we do things on Sunday morning, I usually ask a question. And so for most of you all, I'm not going to pretend that I can actually hear you because I can't. But I do have my family here with me, and so I'm going to ask this question. You may or may not be able to hear their answers. I might be able to repeat some of them. The question for the day is, what does it mean to have a guarantee? Just generically speaking, when you hear someone talk about a guarantee, what does that bring into mind?
I think of a security or a promise.
Security or a promise, okay.
Something's definitely going to happen.
Like, something definitely is going to happen, okay?
Usually hear the words money back guarantee.
Money back guarantee. Yeah, that's usually where my mind goes. I guess in a very consumer age, that's where my mind goes when I think of the word guarantee. Anybody else? I don't know if you are hearing some of these answers. There's things about certainty. There's things about a promise, things for sure. Jennifer said that she thinks about the phrase money back guarantee when you purchase something. So if something doesn't work out, you'll get your money back. Anyone else? See, when I think about the word guarantee, I am very much consumer minded. I just purchased a pair of glasses that I received yesterday. And I'm wearing them now. You can't see them yet. And so I was asking Lydia today what she thought of my glasses and what I look like. She goes, it doesn't really matter. No one else is ever going to see you again because we're going to be stuck in this house forever. Well, that's not necessarily true. Hopefully we'll get to see each other soon. But when I got these glasses, or when I purchased these glasses before they actually ordered them, they asked me if I wanted to go with their 3-year guarantee or warranty. You know, some kind of thing that if it didn't work out, I would be able to to get something back, or I'd get some. These are something I can rely on for a while. They were giving me a guarantee that either the product will sustain itself during this time, or that it will. They'll be able to fix it during that time. So a lot of times, guarantee is kind of a warranty, something that you can rest in, and so you don't have to worry as you are going along. And so I started thinking, what could happen to my glasses in 3 years? And the older pair of glasses that I had before that, I'd had for over 10 years, and I never broke them. I have my other glasses before that. I broke all kinds of glasses, and so it's not uncommon for me to do that. So I started thinking, am I going to be able to keep these glasses? Am I going to have a security? As Sophia said, am I going to have the security that my glasses are going to be okay for 3 years? And so a guarantee is kind of the same kind of thing. And so I was trying to think about the future, what's going to happen in the future. And do I need to get this extra bonus for my glasses so that I can make sure that everything's going to be okay and I can just be at peace? Or am I going to be worried? Am I going to be a little more cautious with the things that I do? Am I going to have to be extra careful? And then if they break, then I'm going to have to go purchase a new pair if they break in 3 years. And so a guarantee gives you some kind of rest. It gives you some kind of peace. And today, a lot of people would like to know whether or not they're going to be able to get back to normal in a few months, or they're wondering if they're going to get sick, and is it going to cause them more pain and suffering? And then for some of you, as some of the people who are in weakened immune systems, you're wondering if you're going to live. And so there is a time that we're now in a time. There is a situation now that a lot of people are thinking in very incremental time. We're not thinking so much as just years down the road. We're thinking, when we hear the president say it may be July or August until some of these restrictions are released, we're thinking, wow, it's a lot of time to be stuck in here. And we're thinking about the economy. Is there any hope that the economy is going to be okay? One of the things I did hear on the news this week was people encouraged that people were from both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, were very grateful for how the president was presenting himself and going to these particular news conferences and was giving the American people a lot of assurance to give them this kind of hope and in a sense, a glimmer of a guarantee that everything's going to be okay. And so that's what people are really longing for. They're really longing to hear that. And then there's a lot of criticism on the other hand saying, no. There's nothing to be secure about here at all. It's a big conspiracy. It's going to ruin our economy. Or some people are just thinking that it's going to both be a physical devastation and an economical devastation. So people would love to have an opportunity to have a guarantee in this particular age. And in this passage, it's all about Paul not trying to sell a guarantee, but assure you that the purchase that was made by Jesus Christ comes with a guarantee. It is something that we can hope in. And the reason why we need that is because we can't see everything in the fullness at this particular time. We can't see the full benefit of this guarantee or this hope that is to come. And so Paul is encouraging that the purchase has been made. What was purchased has been delivered for his people. And there is going to be a time when we will experience the fullness of it, that we'll be able to obtain this. And he is promising us, not by his own word, but by God's word, that there is hope here. Look at these particular words. I'm just going to go through, and as you have a chance, go through the scriptures yourself again. It says, he chose. So one is saying that God has chosen us. He has chosen the purposes of all things He has done this. So it's showing us that it's his strength that we are depending upon. It's something that he has done. It's an active verb for him. He is the subject. He has accomplished it. So our hope is built on his power. It's not built on our power. It's not built on the president's power. It's not of the powers of this earth that we're resting in. We don't have to wait to get a news conference to have a bunch of people standing in front of us saying, we can rest in these people. He is telling us we are able to rest in God. And it says that he has predestined. So that means that he has a plan. It is for the purposes of his will. So the things that are being accomplished, the things that are occurring in this age, we can rely on that he has a purpose. He has predestined these things. He has predestined you people who believe and trust in him. This is something that is under his power and plan from the very beginning, it says. And that it's based on, as it says, his wisdom. This is a wise thing. So that's the thing that's kind of difficult right now, is that we're trying to know how to act in wisdom. What do we do? Do we go to the grocery store and buy a lot of things? Or do we just buy a little bit? Do we go and see other people? Do we just stay in our room? What do we do? What is the wise thing to do? And try to act upon that. Well, what we're being told by Paul is that the things that were predestined from the very foundations of the world, that were for the purposes of his glory and for his people, was done so with wisdom. So when we think about the things that are going on in the day and age now, there are things occurring that are for that purpose. It's a part of that plan, because if you read there, it says a plan in the fullness of time. That means the fullness of all time. It means all things throughout history and in the future is according to this particular purpose. That means COVID-19 is a part of his plan, his purpose that fits this first chapter in Ephesians. If you want to know what's going on, why is this happening? It's not happening because it's some kind of conspiracy to bring in world power or to bring in socialism. It might be somebody else's plan to do that, maybe or maybe not. But that's not the primary reason why it's occurring. It's not just occurring because of unsanitary conditions in another country. It's not occurring just because of those things as primary, but they may be in particular those things. But the primary reason that all of these things are happening is because it's according to his plan and purposes to bring about his glory and bring his people to himself. Now, of course, you and I might come up with another plan of how to do that. We may have other ideas. In fact, we may have even been planning this past week or two for the next few months of how we would want to go about accomplishing that for the purposes of God. We may say, yeah, that's what we were doing. We were trying to do things to get the gospel out. I was trying to teach my children the gospel in the home. I was trying to teach my neighbors, or I was planning a mission trip, or I was planning on going to talk to a friend of mine, or going to go to have a sermon or a conference, and then all of a sudden these things got shut down. So we might be standing here saying, God, why are you doing these things? We were doing these things for you, and you're shutting that down, and now we're stuck here in our house. That doesn't sound like a very good plan. That doesn't sound very helpful. Well, this is telling us in his word, which is the whole purposes of why we would go about and tell the gospel, is that we can rest that he has predestined and he has a purpose, that all of these things are occurring to bring about his will. So we have a guarantee. Now, we just need to know how to respond to that. He said it. His will, all things, sealed with a promise, sealed with a guarantee. And that we have these words like blessed, inheritance, riches, lavished upon us, that we know that this is going to be, that this is now in the already but not yet, very good things for us. So there's nothing for us to dread. We know that there's nothing for us to dread because all of these things are in Christ. Now see, all of these words and these phrases that I'm telling you and reminding you to try to assure you of his purposes, his plan, he planning this, predestined all things. The thing that actually surpasses that in repetitiveness is it's in Christ. It's in Jesus. Over 10 times he says that throughout this whole passage. It is a very blatantly highlighted thing. It is in Christ. If you go to social media, one of the things when you scroll through right now, you will see COVID-19, COVID-19. Just scan it, and it's just completely like an ongoing cycle. It is what is in our mind and on our mind right now. But as you are in this word, the thing that would keep coming up in your face would be, it's in Christ, it's in Christ. All of these things, these plans, all of the things on earth and in heaven, everything that's occurring is happening in and through Christ for the purposes of his glory. So what does that mean? That means that all of this revolves around that very verse that's in the dead center of the passage of the day, which is in verse 7. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. This was because of the payment of his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. The gospel is at the center of the purposes of what is going on today. A lot of people are talking about this virus. A lot of people are talking about the responses to this virus. A lot of people are talking about the after effects of what we're having to do by being restrained from doing certain things. But let's talk about the purpose. We know the purpose in his word, that this is all because Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people to redeem them to himself for his glory and for the goodness of his people. Now, we may not understand where this is going to go and what is going to happen in this particular year or with this particular thing, but we do have the example of the history of how these kind of things have brought forth the growth of the kingdom of God. It sobers us. It takes us out of the congregation for a moment and pulls us aside and says, listen. Listen to me. Sober up. You're getting drunk with the here and the now. You need to be in the spirit for the fullness of all time, of what Jesus has accomplished, what Jesus has done for his people. And so if you're one of his, if you're one who believes, if one of you who has that guarantee here on this paper that's pointing not to this paper, it's pointing to the cross. You have a hope in this time that should cause you to sing. You have a hope in this time that should cause you to proclaim to others that Jesus Christ came for sinners. And that is why we are here this day. That is why we've been pulled out of the congregation to be told of a hope. Not be pulled out to be given a threat of a spanking that's going to happen when we get home. But we're being pulled out of the congregation to be reminded that Jesus has taken our punishment and that we have a hope. That when we go back into the congregation, that we're not so much being told to quiet down. We're being told to shout out. We're being told to sing out, to tell everyone around us that we have something to be thankful for. We have something to proclaim to the whole world. So praise be to God in this time and forevermore. Amen.